Blog Talk Radio.
Give me a couple seconds here to get it together. Okay, I was running a little bit late tonight because the computer and everything was running slow. So, I wasn't able to get everything lined up the way I wanted it to be. Just give me a second here. Okay. Just give me a few more seconds. I'll get it together here. Sorry about that. But, like I said, nothing I can do about it. Okay, here we go.
Further along,
Part of the service. Well, let's get into some messages here. I got some messages lined up for us tonight. Okay? I'm taking this from Genesis 48, verses 15 to 16. The shepherd of my life. See, the God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God of whom who is my shepherd all of my life to this day, the angel has redeemed me from all evil. See, the life of Jacob is one of the most powerful testimonies of grace and resiliency in the pages of the Old Testament. When you first meet Jacob, he is grabbing hold of his twin brother's foot while coming out of his mother's womb. Therefore, his name means heel catcher, deceiver, or fraud. From the very beginning, Jacob wanted to have his blessings his way, even if it meant lying and cheating to get it. He wanted to be the first, better, and greater than his brother Esau. And at the end, that drive for success would cost Jacob 20 years of separation from his family. It was 20 years of running and hiding out from his brother, who was bent on killing him for the evil things he had done. We never bargain on what our sins will cost us when we step up to purchase them. It's strangely understood that even though we know that what sin is going to cost us, we are willing to agree to pay it. We're always shocked when a bill comes due. So Jacob was no different. In Genesis chapter 32, we read the account of Jacob at the Jabbok River, left alone in the dark of night. He was headed back home after all those years of running. He had come face to face with his past in order to secure his future. And in this meant acknowledging just how much his sins had cost him and potentially had destroyed his future. So Jacob knows that it could cost him his very life because of his brother Esau's hatred for him. But he also knew that God must be obeyed. Jacob was no longer the selfish brother out to get things his way. God had done a deep work in the heart of Jacob, but even though the work had been done, there was still an even greater work yet to be accomplished. There were amends to make with the family and past to relinquish into the hands of God. But there were even greater battles ahead to surrender, greater than this one with his brother Esau. Jacob would end up losing his son Joseph for many years, and even for a time lost his youngest child Benjamin. But in the end, Jacob is gathered together with all of his sons and before his home going, we hear this great patriarch speaking these words. God has been my shepherd all the days of my life, and the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. Even though Jacob had been a scoundrel, though he had cheated, lied, deceived, and lived selfishly for many years of his life, he had come to understand that even on the worst day, God had still been his shepherd. When Jacob had failed to be the sheep, God never quit shepherding. Why? Because God loves us when we are at our darkest. We have a God who is faithful even when we are unfaithful. His love is so relentless, so heartstrong and committed that he will never loosen his grip upon us. Sometimes it takes years separated from our failures to bring us to a place where we are ready to surrender the whole of us to God. No matter what is found on the road of our past, God has guided us safely through and will lead us into the land of plenty, just as he did Jacob. God never quits on us, and he absolutely will never fail to keep his promises, even when we fail to keep his. When Jacob is dying, he wants his sons to know that he has only come to this blessed ending of his life because God was his end. And when God is our end, our past can never rob us of our future. The sons, even our greatest fears, fleeing into the shadows of defeat. Never fear the day you've never seen. Amen. Now I'm going to talk a little bit further about what concerns God. See, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. That's Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. To be a slave of your circumstances is the most hopeless and of emotions we can succumb to. When it seems that the enemy is prospering while we are deteriorating into less and less of a life worth living, then we find ourselves with no other option seemingly than to just surrender and defeat. This is exactly where God's people found themselves and their families. Israel had been enslaved for over 400 years, and there was no relief in sight. They had come at one time believed that God loved them and would surely come to deliver them from the cruel hands of the Egyptians. After all, the Egyptians were pagans, and they all mocked God to his face with the idolatry of the Pharaoh and their false gods. So why would God allow them to suffer at the hands of unbelievers, let alone to become their slaves? God's people were in an all-time low, with no hope for deliverance. Did God care? Perhaps God didn't know about them after all. Have you ever felt this way concerning your situation? You're not alone. Sufferings have been in place since Adam and Eve sinned way back at the beginning of time as we know it. Our sufferings can be used by God to become another hope and to become our catalyst of fresh faith and time. God did know about his people, and he not only knew about them, he cared very deeply at what they were having to endure at the hands of another. When we are helpless to save ourselves, that is only goes to reason that we need a Savior. So we are utterly defenseless and without hope, that is without question that we need saving. This is the place where Israel found herself, needing a Savior and needing to be saved. You don't need a Savior unless you need to be saved, right? But how many of us who are living in bondage are enduring a situation where we are completely defenseless and unable to help ourselves really know we need a Savior? It's only one thing to long to be saved from something or even someone, but it's another thing to know and believe you need a Savior. God was waiting for the perfect time to come when his people would be looking not just to be saved, but for a Savior. And when that day arrived, he bent down low to the earth in suffering, leaning to the ear and the cry of his child, I need a Savior because I need to be saved. Delivering us from bondage is possible. Restoring hope and joy for living is possible. And it's all because God gave us a Savior. His name is Jesus. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And where God is, there is freedom and power over the enemy and strength for the journey. And more importantly, where God is, bondage is not. So what struggles do you have today that you simply cannot conquer? You need a Savior? What shackles do you fight to be free from? You need a Savior. What oppressor do you seek to be free from? You need a Savior. What sorrow do you need to overcome? You need a Savior. Whatever salvation you need in your life today, you have a Savior, because God sees you right where you are, and He will and can save you because He sent a Savior over 2,000 years ago in order to set you free from the land of bondage, fear, sorrow, hopeless, pain, and suffering. Crying out to Him today and leave the land of Egypt behind. A Savior has come, and every shackle has gone. Amen. Well, I hope these two small devotionals made sense for you today. Amen. Well, okay. Let's play some more music.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring Tony in to read from the Bible, okay, tonight. All righty. Okay. Let me bring it up for him. Okay. Here we go. It's Sarah's burial and Isaac's marriage. Coming from Genesis.
My. Looks like I'm back again. Thanks, Ken.
You're welcome.
Let's see. Now, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord, you are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold you from this burial place, and you may bury your dead. Then Abraham stood and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth, and he spoke with them, saying, If it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, and me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give that to me at the full price as property for a burial place among you. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth before all who went to the gates of his city. Now after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which is in Hebron, and the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, Please, put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, Perhaps the women will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which he came? But Abraham said to him, Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, To your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife and my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day, and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw. Now let it be that the young women to whom I say, Please, let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one. You have appointed your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened, before he finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Machpelah, and the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Please, let me drink a little of your water from your pitcher. So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let the pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they are finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover," she said to him, "we both have straw and feet enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahal Roar, for he dealt in the south. And Isaac went out to mediate in the fields in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servants told Isaac all the things he had done. Then Isaac brought her to his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. It was Genesis 3, 1, 9, 17, 20, 24, 1 through 27, 61, and 67. So we'll give you a word of worship. It's going to come from Psalm 7, 1 and 2. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me, and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rendering me in pieces, while there is none left to deliver. And as always, when I am on here, I like to leave you with just a word of wisdom from Proverbs, something to think about in your daily lives. The way it was written, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for having me. I know all of you in the chat room, Ashley, Bogart, I'm sure you all loved that. But thank you for coming every night and listening to the Word of God, the way it was meant to be, the way it was meant to be shared.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tony.
You're very welcome.
You did a wonderful reading.
Thank you, Kenny.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed this Bible reading for tonight. Amen. All right. It's the Bible. How can the Bible be plagiarized? It's Bible. Okay. Well, Pastor Kent doesn't have a show. Sorry. Sorry, sorry. Oh, well. Okay. Well, I'm going to play some more music.
when the west wind moves on the fields of barley, you'll forget the sun in his jealous sky as we walk in fields of gold. So she took her love for to gaze a while upon the fields of barley. In his arms she fell as her hair came down among the fields of gold. Will you stay with me? Will you be my love?
When we walked in fields of gold.
get into the prophetic word, okay, for today. The Father says today, why seek the honor that comes from man rather than the honor that comes from God only? I have made you a life-giving spirit. You are not merely a creature of flesh and bone. You're a light being made light by light that lights every man that comes into the world. You're the natural lens where eternal things may be glimpsed. Look deeply within you and you will see me looking back at you. Empty your hands and reorient your heart to the inward focus where I may be found. You're not waiting upon a time or a place or a piece of information that will make everything different. I am in my person your truth. I am your life. I am even your way, your method. It's who I am and what I do. While others ask, what is your method? Say to them, I don't need a method. All I need is Jesus. And you have me, and you know you have me. Then what others think matters not at all. Are you ready to cease from the sweat of your brow? Intellectual striving, religious straining, even physical effort will never perfect or bring about what I have promised you, says God. Empty your hands and open your heart. Hear the voice, even my voice that speaks in the silence between your own thoughts. Hear my deep that calls you to your deep, even the wail song of my spirit calling out from your innermost being. Come away from the shallows of religious experience and into the trackless depths where the deep waters of my truth will envelop you and change you, okay, at your very core. You will be known as you are known. You will see me and become like me, for you shall see me as I am. You do not have to strive. You do not have to earn the shallows of what I have freely given you in depth of my spirit. I will not come to you in the shallows of religious things. You are going to have to come to me, for that is where the healing waters flow. Can you take instruction? Are you correctable? Are you willing to be bendable, sin able, and spendable? Let's get going then, for heavens await. You are bidden, and you are welcome. You will never be the same, says God. Amen. Well, this goes out to those who need it. And you know who you are. Amen. Okay. All righty. Well, I'm going to play one more song and we're going to call it a night. Okay? And I might close out in a prayer. Yes, I should close out in a prayer. Play one more song and close out in a prayer.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, let's close out with a prayer. Amen. Lord God, we thank you that we have often thought you close to us, Lord. We thank you that you are near us and that you strengthen the weak, Lord. Remember us and give each one of us the help that needs to be true to his calling, Lord. Remember all humankind and grant that we may go forward in spirit and truth, Lord. Give new light to the peoples who are still in great darkness, Lord. Let your kingdom and your reign be revealed and your name at last be honored by all. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I hope you've had a blessed night, okay? I hope the message that was given tonight reached down into your souls, okay? And I hope you all have a blessed night. So may God bless you, okay, and have a blessed night. Good night, everybody.